Good morning. My name's Tracy Boland. The scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not stand against it." Thank you.
Well, good morning. This is awesome. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. If we have not met, my name is Jonas Larkin, and I am the pastor here at Heartland City. And we'd love the chance to meet you. I hope you'll stick around after service. We're going to have a brief reception. I'd love to get to meet you and put a name with a face. But you're going to hear from several different people this morning. And just curious, how many of you were here from the very beginning when the campus launched? Actually, how many of you are here when Valley Creek was just talking about launching a second campus? We got a few. All right. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm excited. This morning you get to hear from Pastor Scott. Many of you know who Scott is, but in case you don't, Scott Kerr, he's the pastor at Valley Creek, our sending church. And it was part of his vision and the vision of many of you that are here in the room at Valley Creek years ago to start a second work here on the north side of E-Town. And so I'm excited to invite him. He's going to share a little bit about that this morning and just encourage us, remind us of God's faithfulness. But I'm not going to preach for you. I'm going to let you come and do what I asked you to come do. So would you guys welcome Pastor Scott Kerr.
I promise I'll not be long today, all right, because this is not a day about me. I'm thankful for Heartland City Church, all right? And some of you know it's been a long journey to get to this day. It's hard to believe. You're going to see a video here in just a few moments. When we were talking about planting this campus and God working, I'll still never forget that time in my life when things were happening at Valley Creek and we were considering what to do, and we were considering building a $2 million building, and I got to the end of looking at that and thinking, man, we're going to spend $2 million, and what do we get for $2 million? I got a window in my office, basically, right? For over 20 years, I've had an office without a window, and I was going to have an office with a window, and I was so excited about that. And I thought, $2 million, and that's the biggest thing we get out of this? I said, that's not, I don't think, what the Lord desires. As we continue to seek the Lord, I know I had a sabbatical that year, and my main goal was to seek the Lord's desire, whether starting a second campus was what he would have for Valley Creek. And of course, as we walked through that process, various things happened. In fact, even God, I believe, miraculously giving us this location, this building, it was all a part of that time. And us knowing that God is in this, and this is what God wants us to do. And some of you, if you've been around from that time on, you know the last 8-plus years has been a journey, right? Y'all can say amen to that. It's a something, right? A lot have happened in 8 years. Of course, we had COVID in the midst of all that. A lot of different things happened, and so it's been a long journey. But I'm excited about what God is doing here at Heartland City Church and what God, I believe, is going to do in the future. And so I just want to say a few brief words, and then I'm going to sit down, and as we're going to move on today as we celebrate this wonderful day. And the first thing I want to share actually comes from the passage that Tracy just read for us. I didn't know he was going to read that, but it's going to be my lead in today, because if you know anything about that text there in Matthew, again, Jesus did come and he asked the disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And as you saw in that text, they came back and they gave the response that everybody was given, all these different things, "Were you this or this?" And Jesus looked at him and he said, "Well, who do you say I am?" And of course, Peter looked back and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, interesting, Jesus goes on after that and he says, "Hey, you're Peter, and upon this rock, I will build my church," right? Now, some of you may not know the name Peter means. Anybody know? What does it mean? Rock, all right? So there's been somewhat a debate throughout history and time. It says, what was Jesus talking about when he said, "Upon this rock will I build my church"? And some have taken that to say, oh, that was Peter, right? And they've kind of built a church that lived on Peter. But I don't think that's what God was talking about, because there's actually a change in Greek words there, you know, and Jesus uses kind of a different term there for rock. And he wasn't talking about building upon Peter. Here's what he was talking about building his church upon, about the confession that Peter made, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because folks, listen, what is the church built upon? We've been singing about it some this morning. The church is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, right? He was going to build his church upon that confession about who he is and what he was going to do. And here's what I really believe. What I believe Heartland City Church has been founded upon, is being built upon, is who Jesus Christ is, that he is the Savior of the world. He is the one that can change lives. And here's what I believe going forward. Okay. If Heartland City will continue to build upon that foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think God's going to do a great work. So I have this challenge for you, right? As you go forward, to make sure everything that you do is grounded upon Jesus Christ. I know as you go into the future, you're going to do some programs. You'll probably take on some ministries. There's different things this church is going to do moving forward in the future. But let me tell you, you don't build a church upon a program. All right, you don't build a church upon a ministry. You build a church on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the gospel. And so my challenge to you is never lose that vision. Never let that ever get out of sight of. That's what we're about more than anything else. Because if you'll help people know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, here's what you'll experience. You'll experience lives changed. You'll experience people who have no hope, find hope in life. You'll find people who in their life, maybe they are caught into addiction of drugs or alcohol or any number of things. You will see them set free from those things if Jesus Christ is the center of what you do and if you build your church upon him. Because here's what I know. If you center upon Jesus, remember, who's going to do the building of the church? Jesus, not you. He's going to be the one that's going to do it. And so my first challenge to you today is I believe this. Heartland City has been founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's go forward on the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? So that's my first thing. Second thing, I want to flip to another passage of scriptures found in Philippians chapter 1. If you know anything, Paul, who wrote the book of Philippians, founded a church in Philippi. And so he was writing to people who he had a heart for, because he had helped found the church there. And he wrote these words in verse 3. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always and in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Paul took a moment and he looked, and as he was writing back, he says, I want you to know, first of all, I'm thankful for you all. I thank you in my prayers for who you are. And today, I want to spend a moment, because there's four groups of people I want to be thankful for this morning. First of all, I want to be thankful for all the members of Valley Creek Baptist Church. Right? Because this wouldn't exist without their faithful support. There were some who came, even they gave a year of their time. They said, hey, we know this is not our permanent place, but what we're going to do, we're going to give a year of our life to go over to help Heartland City get planted. We know we're going to come back to Springfield Road and worship there, but we're going to give a year. There's some that have done that. There's some that said, you know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to leave the place that we love and are comfortable with, and we're going to go over there, and that's going to become our permanent home. There are those who didn't do either one of those, but you know what they've done faithfully through the years? They've prayed, they've given financially to help this happen. And today I want to be thankful for all the members of Valley Creek. When I think about their faithfulness, man, I cannot thank God enough. Amen? All right. Number two, I want to be thankful for those that are Heartland City right now who came from the beginning and have stayed the course. All right. I know Jonas kind of had you do this, but if you're a Heartland City person, all right, and you've been here from day one, I want you to raise your hand. All right, look around, folks. All right, you see these people with their hands raised? These are some dedicated people. All right, because the last 8 years, like I said, they've been hard years. There's been some difficult moments. They've seen a lot of people come. They've seen a lot of people go. But these are the ones who have stayed the course for these years. And I want you all to know personally, I'm very thankful for you, because here's what I know. Many times you could have given up and said it's gotten too hard. We're just going to go do something else. We're going to go somewhere else. But you didn't. You stayed. And you have a lot to do with the with the, you know, where Heartland City is today and where it's going to go in the future. And so I want to say thank you to you, all right? I want to say third, thankful to this. I want to say thankful for all the new faces that have joined Heartland City in the recent times, all right? Where's the people who are, let's say you've been here, let's say less than 2 years, is that all right? Less than 2 years, you've been here less than 2 years. Raise your hand, all right? That's a good number of hands, right? Here's what I believe. God is doing great things, and you're part of that. And I believe those new faces that are here are going to be the one that continue to bring in new faces. And what we're going to continue to see is life change because you're present. So I'm thankful for you to come in and say, hey, we realize maybe this is a church plant. This is a new place. And we know they don't have everything that all the other churches have because they're still building and they're still making their programs work and all those things. But you said we see the vision and we're here. We believe this is a place of standing on the gospel and we're going to be a part. And so I want to say thank you to you because you're helping Heartland City Church be the church that God wants it to be. All right. Now, fourth, I want to say this. I want to say I'm thankful for Jonas Larkin. All right, Jonas, stand up for a second. Now, this may be news to some of you all, but actually, as we're celebrating this commissioning, Jonas is celebrating 5 years. Well, here's it. He's celebrating 5 years at Valley Creek, and we're kicking him out to come to Heartland City Church. All right. He's been with us for 5 years. He's celebrating his ministry fifth year with us. And so it's actually kind of coming together at the same time. In fact, I don't think you mind this, right? He got a little five-year bonus in his check that they didn't know was coming. He was surprised by it. So sorry I didn't give you that heads up, but you're thankful for it, right? Amen, yeah. All right. But here's what I know. He came 5 years ago at a time where things were so uncertain. I remember even going through the interview with him and telling him, listen, hey, there's a lot of uncertainty in this. But he believed that God was calling him. And he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to trust God to take care of me. And I'm going to go. Yes, there's some unknowns, but I'm coming. And he stayed the course. And especially these last couple of years, as we looked and said, hey, here's what the vision needs to be. That Heartland City needs to be an independent church. The work and the effort that he has put in over the last 2 years, you all will never know. The stuff he's done behind the scenes, the stuff he's done on his own to be ready and prepared to take this challenge is something that I'm truly thankful for. I admire what he's done. And Heartland City Church, you need to be thankful for your pastor because he loves the Lord. He's dedicated to you, and he's proven he'll do what it takes to help Heartland City be the church that God wants it to be, all right? So let's all be thankful for him today, all right? All right, now as I say that, I don't want to get his head too big, all right, because here's the deal. Even as it goes on and Paul says, I'm thankful for all these, he says, I'm thankful for your partnership. And let me go ahead and just reaffirm this. As Heartland City becomes its own church, Valley Creek is not done with Heartland City Church. Okay, we're still financially helping support you. Now, that'll decrease over the years as you become more independent, but we're going to still do those things. But I also pray that even when that's done, that we'll still be partners in the ministry doing things here in Elizabethtown and even around the world together as we are still partners in the gospel and always will be, right? And then Paul goes on to say this, I'm thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And here's the key. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Heartland City, just as I said a while ago, you build us on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's never forget, all right? God is going to be the one that brings this to completion. I've bragged on Jonas, but Jonas can't bring this to completion. But God working through Jonas and the members of this congregation can bring this to completion. And I believe our God is big enough to continue to do something great at Heartland City Church. Do you believe that? I believe that, all right? Our God is good. And I don't want to take too much time. I already said too much, Jonas. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here today in Heartland City Church. I'm excited about what God's going to do in the future of this place. And I'm ready to celebrate and continue to be in a partnership in the gospel with you. God bless you. Let's go Heartland City Church, all right?
Possibility of us becoming, again, a multi-site church by initially adding what we would call a North Campus on the north end of E-Town. For me, the conviction that God has given me in recent years is that it isn't good stewardship to continue to build bigger buildings in one location, but it is better stewardship to consider smaller buildings in more location. This may include a multi-site approach, as we're currently looking at. It may include also us planting churches in the future. We remain open to whatever God desires and what we feel is the most effective in reaching people for Jesus Christ. So if that is the case, then planting new churches is something that we should want to be a part of. In fact, if we look back at the history of Valley Creek Baptist Church, in August 18 of 1872, a group of people gathered together to consider the need to plant a church in this area, and the seed was planted for Valley Creek Baptist Church. Through the years, God has continued to bless. Our church has continued to grow, and God has brought us to a place to consider, is it time for our church to plant another church in a part of a county in order to continue to grow?
Good morning. My name is Samantha Carter, and I am an excited member of Heartland City. And I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Oh, man. What a day. It was... Let's see, it was about 5 years ago, almost to the day, that I stood here and preached my first sermon at Valley Creek Baptist Church, South Wilson Campus, and a lot has happened since then, and man, the Lord knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. So, I, contrary to what you may believe, if you're a Heartland City regular, I will not be long today. I just want to say a few things. Here's what I really just wanted to charge us as kind of we move forward. And I asked Sam to read that passage because it's such a, it's a really important passage for the church at all times, right? Throughout time and space and history, but it's like particularly important on days like today. It's what she just read is what is called the Great Commission. It's some of the last words that Jesus gave to his followers before he ascended to heaven, and it's his charge to his disciples, his charge to his church. And so if you're not familiar with it, to kind of situate it in its context, Jesus had called these disciples, these 12 men. He'd spent 3 years or so just investing in them, pouring into them. They walked with Jesus. They witnessed his his ministry firsthand. They heard his teaching and they saw the miracles that he performed. Eventually, they saw him be betrayed by one of their own. Right? And then they were there when he was arrested in the garden. These disciples were, even though they scattered, some of them witnessed his crucifixion or they heard about the events of his crucifixion. They heard that he had died, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But then 3 days later, they're hiding, and the women who had visited the tomb that morning, they come to Jesus, or they come to the disciples, and they tell them, hey, the tomb where Jesus was, it's empty. Right? Jesus is alive. Okay, and then eventually Jesus himself showed up to the disciples and he said, hey, here's the proof you need, right? I am alive. I have come to do what I said I came to do, right? To defeat sin and hell and death and the grave. Okay. And it felt like that would be a good ending to the story. Right? Jesus was crucified, buried, now he's resurrected. All the loose ends tied up. Jesus had come. He'd accomplished his mission. Everyone was celebrating, like roll the credits, right? Beautiful ending to the story. But what we see at the end of Matthew's gospel is that's not the end of the story. Okay, it was the most important part of the story. Okay, up to this point in history, it's the climax of the story and will continue to be until Jesus returns. But it wasn't the end of the story, because some days later, again, Jesus would gather his disciples on this mountain outside of Galilee, and he would say the words that Sam just read to them, or he would say to them the words that Sam just read, right? Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. All right, this is Jesus effectively passing the baton to the disciples and saying, hey, this is like, it's your turn. It's your turn to take the good news of the gospel and run with it, right? Go with it. And so his resurrection, even though it felt like maybe this is the end of the story, what we actually see is his resurrection was really just the first leg of the race, right? It wasn't the finish line. Okay, it wasn't the finish line. It was the first leg of the race. And here's kind of the connection for this morning is, like, if we're not careful, this morning will kind of feel like crossing a finish line. Okay? I was thinking earlier this week, I spent the majority of the last 2-3 years kind of either running towards or walking towards or sometimes just crawling towards, like, this moment. Okay, it was a little over 2.5 years ago. Scott and I had a series of meetings out here after church on Sundays, and we said, hey, this is kind of what we're thinking the Lord might be leading us to. And we've been kind of moving towards that for the last 2.5 years. And, like, today is that day that we've been sort of inching towards. And it kind of feels like we've crossed the finish line, right? And if I'm honest, man, it kind of feels like, almost like I don't really know what to do with myself. I'm like the dog that caught the car it was chasing, right? It's like, now what? You know what I mean? But the reality is this morning, this moment that we are marking this morning, that we're celebrating, it is not the finish line. Okay, it is not the finish line. Okay, this is just, like, the beginning of the next leg of the race. It's the next chapter of the story that God is writing here on the north side of E-Town that Lord willing will have ripple effects for the heartland of Kentucky and the ends of the earth. Right? That's what we're hoping for. I mean, you guys know I love Kentucky football, right? No secret to any of you guys that have been around here for a while. And here's the deal. I'm excited. We just hired an offensive-minded coach, right? I was really tired of watching us just hold on to the ball and just kind of wait till time expired. That was getting really old. And I bring that up because I think what we see in a couple of these passages that we've read this morning, whether it's what Sam just read or what Tracy read earlier, is that Jesus is offensive-minded. Okay, Jesus is not content to just sort of, like, huddle up and let's just run out the clock and let it expire until I come back. Okay, because, I mean, like, Jesus, what we just read, he is building his church, actively building his church. And in that passage that Tracy read, he said that as he was talking about him building his church, he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Okay. Gates are a defensive mechanism. You know, like gates are meant to protect, they're meant to defend, they're meant to kind of hold at bay the things that are out there, right? And Jesus says, no, that the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. In other words, my church is on offense, right? It is pushing back the darkness. It is expanding my kingdom, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against that. And so the question is, how does that happen? Like, how does the church pummel, destroy, blow right through the gates of hell? And it's just by doing exactly what Jesus told his disciples to do here in Matthew 28. Right, the church pummels the gates of hell when we go, when we share the gospel, when we see men and women and children be baptized upon their profession of faith, when we make disciples of Jesus by teaching those that we baptize to walk in obedience to his word. Like, that's how the church pummels the gates of hell. And we just do that over and over and over and over again until, like, there's no more breath in our lungs. Right? That's what we're called to. And what I love is that according to Jesus, according to his word, a church that's committed to doing those things, to going, to sharing the gospel, to making disciples, to baptizing, to teaching them to observe all that he has committed, a church that's committed to those things is the kind of church that Jesus says, and I will be with you. Right? I will be with you. I don't know about you. Like, as we kind of are being sent off and launched off, like, I want Jesus to be with our church. I'm hoping you do too. Right? Because I like Scott said, I have no illusions that I can do. Like, I don't have anything to offer other than just what God has called me to do through his word. I don't have anything to offer other than the gospel. I don't have anything to offer other than teaching God's word, making disciples. And I want Jesus to be with us as we do that. Because if he's not with us, what are we doing? If he's not with us, like, let's just go home. We're just wasting our time here. Right? So here's what I want to do quickly. In just a moment, I'm going to ask Andrew Eaton to come up. He's with the Kentucky Baptist Convention. Before I do that, two things quickly. I just want to remind you of what our mission is here. Because I want this to be so, if you're a Heartland City regular, a member, I want this to be so ingrained in your mind that, like you could not possibly forget it. Okay, so our mission here at Heartland City is we exist to make disciples of Jesus in the heartland of Kentucky and to the ends of the earth. It's not clever. It's not flashy. It doesn't rhyme. It doesn't have alliteration. It's just like Jesus' words to his church, pulled straight out of the Bible, and then sort of adapted for our unique time and place. Okay? We exist to make disciples of Jesus here in the heartland of Kentucky and ultimately to the ends of the earth. And the second thing I want to do is I just want to talk to those of you who, like, from this point forward, you are members of Heartland City Church. You've heard me for the last, 2 months, just get up here and say, hey, if you're going to be a covenant member with us, there's some documents I need you to read and review and sign. And so I'm talking to those of you right now that you signed those papers and you're like, I'm in, right? I'm here for it, okay? So I'm talking to covenant members, and here's what I want to say. The mission of our church is not just for me as a pastor. Okay, the mission of our church is not just for our staff. Okay, and Zach and Darian do an incredible job, but the mission is not just for those of us who make some who make part of our living or a majority of our living from working here. Okay, the mission of the church is not just for our leadership teams, those who give of their time and their effort and their energy and their skill and experience to serve and lead in various ways. The mission of the church is not just for them. The mission of our church is for everyone who calls himself a member of Heartland City Church. It's for all of us. Okay, and so how I'm going to kind of close our time together is I'm just going to read through our membership covenant. Hopefully you have a copy of it. If not, you can find it on the back of one of these bulletins if you got it, right? If you want to follow along. If you don't have a copy of it, I will make sure you have a copy of it, because I would encourage you, stick a copy in your Bible so that you can see it often, that you can be reminded of what it is that you're committing to this morning. Okay, because here's what we're doing. This is a commissioning service. We are commissioning a new church. Okay, and there's no church without members of a church. And so really what we're doing is we're celebrating all that God has done. Yes, and amen, and that is good and right. But also what we're doing here this morning is we as a church family, those of you that say, I'm a Heartland City member, I'm in this, I'm committed, we are covenanting together. Like, we're making a commitment to one another this morning. So here's what we're committing to, right? By God's grace, we have been brought to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and having been joined to him by his Spirit and affirmed as Christians through church membership, so we now solemnly and joyfully renew our covenant with each other, that God enabling us, we will walk together in love as brothers and sisters, a family of sinners saved by grace. We will labor for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, bearing patiently with each other and freely forgiving as we have been forgiven in Christ. We will pursue transparency with each other, resisting the temptation to hide our struggles and sins, that we might experience the grace of God in the care of his saints. We will commit to the ministry of attendance, regularly gathering with the whole church for worship and fellowship, because no one can faithfully follow Jesus alone. We will commit to the ministry of prayer and to pursue each other's good as we encourage frequently, admonish gently, and receive correction humbly. We will be active in evangelism, taking the initiative to proclaim Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, leaving the results to God. We will endeavor as the family of Christ to bring up the children under our care in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, which means we're also going to volunteer in kids ministry, right? We will rejoice at each other's happiness and endeavor with tenderness and sympathy to bear each other's burdens and sorrows. We will contribute cheerfully and regularly to the ministry of the church, to the needs of our neighbors, and to the spread of the gospel from the heartland of Kentucky to the ends of the earth. If we leave this congregation, we will join another gospel preaching church as soon as possible, where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. And through life, whatever oppositions may come, we will live for the glory of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you this morning and we are, Lord, just grateful to mark this moment. Just a testimony that you are continuing to build your church and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I pray that you would help us to see this morning as it's not a finish line. God, help us. This is not a finish line. If anything, now it's time to pull up our boots and continue to get to work, doing what you told us to do. Go. Make disciples. See men and women baptized. Teach them to walk in obedience to your word. Lord, would you help us to do that with patience and with endurance? Help us to do it in the power of your Spirit, Lord. We need you. Gosh, we desperately need you. We can't do it on our own. So would you be with us, Lord, just as you've promised to? We need you. And then, Father, I pray that, Lord, for those of us members of Heartland City who are covenanting together to continue this work that you've started, Lord, would you help us to fulfill these commitments, to fulfill these responsibilities that we have made to one another? Lord, help us to do that when it's not always easy, when it's not always convenient, when it's not always comfortable. Lord, help us to remember that this is what you've called us to as your church, as your people. So Lord, give us the grace and the capacity to do all that you've called us to do. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I'm going to invite my friend, Andrew Eaton. I got to know him as a part of this journey, and I would say we've become pretty good friends, I think. Yeah, he even gives me Kentucky football tickets sometimes, so that's how you know it's a true friendship. We commiserate together. Andrew is the church planting group leader with the Kentucky Baptist Convention. He has also planted a church, so he's not just saying things that he doesn't know about. So would you welcome, join me in welcoming Andrew Eaton.
It's my joy to be with you guys. I have gotten to do that on occasion, got to be here, whether just to attend or even to preach for Jonas. And Jonas, I echo that sentiment, just grateful for your friendship, for your leadership. Also grateful to share the misery of being a Kentucky football fan with you to take my spot in some games. But we're turning it around. I am so excited about what God's doing here. In fact, one of the first conversations, I came into this role with Kentucky Baptist Convention, one of the first conversations about a church wanting to really be serious about church multiplication I had was with Scott and Jonas right out here in this foyer. And Scott, I'm grateful for you, for your leadership, friendship, just the way that you've modeled such an open-handedness with this. Jonas, for your faithful obedience to walk in this. I've got the part in here called commissioning prayer, but when you give a preacher a microphone, that's your fault. So I'm going to say a few things before we pray, but it's going to be prayer-related, and here's where I'll start. This church is an answer to a prayer that's actually found in the Bible, actually found in the Word of God. You might not realize this. I was just up at the Ark for Christmas lights pretty recently. I've got some family that lives in the Cincinnati area. We live in the Lexington area, and so it's kind of a halfway mark for us a little bit. And we went to the Ark to view Christmas lights, and it just feels, I mean, it is. It's larger than life if you've not gotten to experience it. And you're like, wow, this is such a cool Bible story. Well, you're a Bible story too. So am I. In fact, right before Jesus was to go to the cross, he was praying. It's in John chapter 17. It's called his high priestly prayer. And believe it or not, this is the moment in the scriptures where we become Bible characters, because Jesus was praying for you. He even names you. He said, these people that aren't even yet to be saved, I pray that they're sent in the same way that I'm sent. I pray that they're unified so that the world might know that Jesus spends his time leading up to his crucifixion praying for the story of Heartland City Church, and specifically the story of you, for those that will believe. So you are the ones who would come to know him, to carry his name, and to be sent into the world. And so I want to just challenge us with something. If you believe that today, if you believe that you're a sent one from Christ, then I want you to say this out loud with me. I'm going to count to three, and we're going to say together, we are sent. And that's not just the Heartland City people. That's everyone that calls himself a follower of Jesus. Okay, so on the count of three, we are sent. One, two, three, we are sent. Brother Scott mentioned in Philippians chapter 1, I was going to talk about that too, since great minds think alike, or the Holy Spirit works that well. But just let me encourage you in this, and when it comes to gospel partnership, you are not just spectators into the story that the Lord is doing in Heartland City. You are valued participants. The Bible calls you witnesses. The Bible says that you have a testimony. He doesn't need you, but he desires to use you to not just impact your workplace or your family or your neighborhood, but to impact the ends of the earth. The church is not a time slot on Sundays. And we say that, don't we? Like, hey, it's 10 o'clock. I'm going to head to church. I'm going to go to church. It's church time. The church is also not a building. I know it has an address and you can send things here and Amazon comes here. I get that too. But the church is not a time slot or an address. The church, and the Bible is clear about this, the church is a people. And it's you. God's plan to advance his kingdom and advance the gospel has always been through his people living on his mission together. When I came in this morning, I parked over here on the side. And honestly, my goal was to kind of sneak in the side door. Only I walked up to the side door and it had a sign on it. You know what that sign says? Please enter the front door. Use the main entrance. So I come around the side and I walk through the front door. If you're not careful, you might believe that those two double doors right out front are the main entrance to Heartland City Church. If you're not careful, you might be tempted to believe that's the main entrance. What I'm here to tell you today is you're the main entrance. You are. Your life, your witness, your role in the world, whatever role you play, is the main entrance for lost people to be found. That's who God wants to use. And I know this is the time for resolutions, so spare me just a minute to get on that soapbox for a minute. If you look back over the last few years, or you take inventory of your life, when's the last time that the Lord used you to be a main entrance for somebody to know Jesus? Just think about it. I don't say that in any shame or in any conviction or in any guilt, but think about, when's the last time, God, you used me to be a catalyst, to be an initiator, to help someone along in their journey of faith? Maybe to even, you know, this is a phrase that I used to hear in church all the time growing up, to lead someone to Christ. When's the last time that God used you, not just to invite them to church, but to lead someone to Christ? And if it's been a while, I hope it stirs you up. If it's been a while since you've got to have some of those conversations or to be a part of the way that God might bring someone to faith, then I hope that that stirs you up, that maybe 2026 is the year that you get to lead someone to Jesus, or more than just someone, some twos, some threes, some fours, that you get to be the person that God uses. The main entrance to Heartland City Church is not those doors out there. The main entrance is you. We plant churches like this one, because we believe that this is how the gospel advances with the most measurable impact anywhere in the world. Planting churches is the way that the gospel advances with the most measurable impact. Healthy gospel-centered churches reach people where they live. They form disciples who make disciples. They raise up leaders to work for the harvest. And when churches are planted, the gospel doesn't just spread, it takes root. You get to see lives change. You get to see people cross over from death to life. You get to see families restored. You get to see communities renewed. And you get to see from the very beginning that the church is not meant to be the end of the story, but the beginning of gospel multiplication. Kentucky Baptist Convention, we're about some gospel multiplication. And my last challenge to you today will be in everything that you do. Jonas mentioned this, Scott mentioned this, so I'm just tripling down on it. In everything that you do, to be anchored in the Word. To not depart from it. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 says that I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. And that's not just Jonas's task. That's all our task. In the way that we family, in the way that we neighbor, in the way that we work alongside people, in the way that we go to school, in the way that we're students and student athletes, in all the things that we do, that we don't shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God, and not just with our lips, but with our whole lives. Let the Word shape your worship, your discipleship, and your mission in every season, the hard ones and the easy ones, and never depart from it. So I'm going to enter just a moment of commissioning prayer for you guys. That might sound like a big official thing. Darian, by the way, I love that you acknowledged all the kids in the room. It's very fitting for a church plant to have the sound of babies, you know, because it's a baby. Church plant is a baby. And so in a way, we're going to have like a child dedication this morning, but it's going to be a church plant commissioning. And so here's how we're going to do this. If you are a member of Heartland City Church or would consider yourself a part of Heartland City Church, maybe you're in that membership process, but you're like, man, this is where we are. This is our spot. I'm just going to invite you. This is the part where we become non-Baptist, okay? I'm going to invite you to physically stand up, if you're able, and to come down here in the front, okay? And this is not a prank on the introvert that we invited everybody to do that but you, okay? So you can come on down here. We're going to do something very biblical. We're just going to gather together and pray. I guess my kids aren't coming. Sound booth people, you can come too. We'll survive for just a few seconds. Get on down here. And if you're here today from Valley Creek or just as a friend or partner in this, then I want to just invite you where you are to. You can extend a hand. You can come up and place a hand on a shoulder if you'd like. The Bible talks regularly about laying on of hands and commissioning. And this is not an individual. This is a church. But we're going to do that same that same posture of just commissioning you all, Heartland City Church, as the main entrance and the Church of Jesus Christ. So join me together as we pray. Lord, we thank you so much for what's gathered around this altar. And the truth is, before we're anything else, Lord, we are gathered around this altar as people that are recipients, incredibly unworthy recipients of your grace. People that have proclaimed and confessed their belief in you, their trust in you, their reliance on you, their dependence on you, their need for you. Lord, people that have given testimony that you are the source of our salvation. You're the source of our redemption. You're the source of all the ways that we are brought to life and renewed and sanctified in you. Lord, we confess that. Together, rallied as this group of people of Heartland City Church, Lord, we just ask for a commissioning over this body. We ask that you give them just great evidence of you at work. We ask them to give them great insight of the place that your Holy Spirit is moving. We ask for endurance for them. We ask for that you supply them with all the passion and energy and excitement they have. They don't try to manufacture that themselves, but they get that as an overflow of joy from their dependence on you. Lord, we ask for their protection, Lord, that you just protect this body. I pray specifically over the Larkins, and Jonas and Kelly and the kiddos, that you just protect them in ministry, Lord, that you give them rest when they're weary. Lord, I pray for those that are surrounding them, that they see their pastor as also just another family member that needs encouragement and needs care and needs to be loved in the same way every member of this body is loved. Lord, while it's overwhelming to see this altar full of people and stories and lives, it's also exciting to know that you have a plan for this group to fill through the aisles and out the front door. Lord, I pray for those that are yet to be part of Heartland City Church that will come and stand on the shoulders of those that are in this altar this morning. God, I pray for the future leaders and the future servants of this church that you're calling, that they might not even be born yet, that you're going to use in incredible ways. So in the name of Jesus, Heartland City Church, we commission you to be strong and courageous. So the Lord your God goes with you. May you continue to be faithful in the gospel, be bold in how you love others. And may you be a multiplying light, not just in Hardin County, but to the ends of the earth. Lord, we ask you on behalf of all of us to send us and spend us well for your gospel. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
All right, before we go, just want to remind you, man, we are celebrating this day. We'd love for you to hang around. We've got some cupcakes and some refreshments and stuff on the table out in the hallway. We'd love for you to grab. I think there's enough for everyone. If not, fight somebody for it. You'll be fine. We'd love for you to hang around, mix and mingle. Introduce yourself to somebody that you may not know. Also, if you happen to be a guest this morning, we'll be right back here next Sunday, Lord willing, 10:30 a.m. We would love to have you with us as we kind of officially launch out. I guess today we officially launch out, but it's the real deal next Sunday. So we'd love for you to be a part of that. Love for you to be here with us if you are looking for a church home and don't have one. But with that said, I want to send us out with just one more word from the Word. And this is just my prayer for what the Lord will do here at Heartland City, what the Lord will do at Valley Creek, what the Lord will do across churches in our community, what the Lord will do to the ends of the earth. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Paul says, "Now him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." Right, that's my prayer, is that the Lord would do abundantly more than we can even fathom. Okay? So I would encourage you to pray that. Pray that with me this year and even beyond. But Paul goes on, he says, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So we'll end our service the way that we've been ending it for some time now, which is fitting given what Andrew said earlier. Love you guys. Hope you have a great week. Hope to see you back next week. Heartland City, you are sent.